This is the Cal NEH American English Dialect Recordings Collection, produced with funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities and the Center for Applied Linguistics. This is tape number 27, side A.
In your autobiography?
Right, you can read about it. I've had plenty of close calls. Had to face a guy in four of them down on the Mexican border, one to take us to Mexico, DF, one to serve a warrant on us for killing sheep, and we'd bought licenses in Sonora. Dr. Wilson DeCombe from Carlisle, Illinois, and I called him for a gunfight. I had two good Smith & Wessons stuck in my belt, and I told them go to it if they felt lucky. I figured on killing the three of them. Doc killed the other, the rifleman across the street. I've been up against it many times.
Mike says that you as a child witnessed a gunfight, an old-fashioned movie-style gunfight in Missoula.
Well, there wasn't any Missoula movies about it.
No, I know.
My friend Bill O'Connell, his dad was an Irish buffalo hunter, and his mother was a Blackfoot squaw. One of the finest men I think I ever knew. He used to take me hunting. And I seen one gunfight that's in the book. Mm-hmm. Down at, I carried the Helena Independent paper. Get up 4 o'clock in the morning, saddle horse trip. My beat was down to the NP Depot and back up where the Wesleyan University was later built, mm-hmm. around by the state capitol, back down to 1012 Billings Avenue, and stable my horse and feed him and eat breakfast and go to school. And that morning, I come along Helena Avenue that went down to the depot. There was an off street on it, and this Jew had a fresh grocery, mm-hmm. at the end of it, and there was a fur house in between. And on the corner was a saloon, and it was a peculiar shaped thing, kind of wedge shaped. Helena Avenue going to the depot, and this way went down to the fur dealer and the fresh grocery deal. And Bill was standing across the street, and I always saved Bill a paper. They gave us 5 or 6 extras because we rolled them and curled them so we could throw them. Mm-hmm. And I gave Bill his paper, and he says, Elmer, there's something going on over at the saloon. He says, ride by and have a look. Well, I could see over the curtains on the horse. Two fellas had everybody lined up, holding them up. And one of them had a hat, and it was all dumping her watches and everything in it, and the other one had two guns on them. So I rode around past so they couldn't see me and back around the corner and told Bill there was a holdup going on. Well, O'Connell says, I'm going in. And he says, if I don't make it, you go to the saloon across from the depot. Tell the bartender to give you my 10-gauge and that box of shells. And he says, you come back where you can cover both doors and keep everybody in. Have the bartender call the police station for help. So Bill went in. As he did, this guy, one of them, whirled around and shot at Bill, and it went through the transom over his head. And they both jumped over the bar behind it. Well, then one of them raised up with his gun to shoot, and Bill hit him between the eyes with a 45, spattered his brains on the wall. Well, he went down, and the bar run this way and then turned, and there was a break in the elbow. There was another door on that side and the one in the apex of this thing. So I yelled at Bill, I don't know if he heard me or not, to watch the opening. And the other guy was crouching. As he ran around, Bill took him through both shoulders. He went on his face, and one leg come up in the air and stayed there. So Bill says, go down and tell them to want the prosecuting attorney and the sheriff and the dead wagon. So I rode on down and told the bartender advice to give him, and I went on carrying my paper out.
Oh.
Another morning, I remember come along there, and there was a big Irish lady. Oh, she was a whopper. I think she'd weigh 300 anyway. And she had a little bitty husband. And we come along, and she was just beating the hell out of her husband. She had him scruffing the collar. She was pounding him with an old paddle. And Bill went in, and he says, "Lady, let me have the miscreant. I'll take him off your hands. All Bill wanted to do is save his life." And he got pretty near to the gate. She says, "No, officer, I've changed my mind." She come and grabbed him again. So Bill let her go. I've seen a lot of early Montana.
Now, we were born at the kind of the end of the old, real old West, you might say.
That's right, yeah.
It was tough old times there then. I remember the first airplane coming in 1915. And a friend of mine, Harry Berry, paid the guy $10 to take him up and give him the works. He gave him the works all right. He spun and everything. And Harry was in bed 3 days, sick as a dog. First automobile come before that. I think it was Doc Horsky bought it. And it was an old brass-mounted thing with a lot of gear shifts.
Oh, my.
Rubber bulb and gonk. Stop in front of the California Wine House. And we had quite a Chinatown up below the police station there then. A lot of chinks. One old chink was standing there with his silk smock and his arms in it. And he had wooden-soled silk top slippers. Long black silk pants. He was standing there, and Horsky started the thing up, and the old Chinaman says, "Ah," he says, "all pushy, no pulley. Go like hell, you old Sammy." Never forget that.
Can I interrupt for one second? Mrs. Keith, is there a fan on in the other room?
I think it might be the refrigerator.
Oh, it's the refrigerator, okay.
Is that interfering?
Oh, I'm getting a little bit of a buzz here. Mm-hmm.
No way it'll turn
just
it
go
off.
Again in a while.
Yeah, it'll go. It'll just don't go worry about it.
Yeah, that's what it is. Did you mention that there were quite a lot of Chinese in Helena in
yes.
those days? How did they get there? How did they happen to be there?
Well, at one time, there was 100 of them pulled a boat up the Salmon River in the 80s. Mm-hmm. One of them died.
I closed all the doors.
And they buried him under a cliff and put a nugget in his hand. And later, two Chinamen come over from China and hired boatmen here to go down, and they dug him out of the rocks they piled on him and took the nugget out of his hand and hauled him back to China. But the Chinese moved in all over the West. Every big mining camp, when the miners would get all the easy gold, the Chinks would come in and clean up after them.
This is what I heard. They were very
And that's
guilty.
What happened to the Last Chance Ghost there at Helena. And there was a big Chinatown there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We used to get the Chinese matches. They come in little squares, and you could break them apart. And they were still the best matches I ever seen. You could light them in a high wind, and they would not go out.
That's great. So they had some special way of
Well, them Chinese matches, there was a little block, a little mortar larger than this cigar, square.
About that square.
And you break them, well, you've seen them, I'll bet you, boys, he too.